It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network tomorrow night at the Garden. Boy, am I glad I did not say yes to Brian Rascona and go into Game 5, because I mean, the negative energy I would bring into that place in Game 5 would not be good for anybody.
No, it wouldn't be. Wow.
No way, no how.
But do you agree with me, though?
Yes, I do. Now, when you say major change, though, and what we're talking about is Boomer said, if they get smacked at home and lose the series in 5 and lose all 3 games at home to the Pacers, you would expect major changes. But what are those major changes? Because I know you're a Tibbs guy.
I am a Tibbs guy. I'm thinking that, you know, the Celtics are going to be good next year. The Cavs are going to be good next year. The Pacers are going to be good next year. I mean, like, it's all the same teams are going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And this group of guys playing 1 year together have gotten to the conference final. So I would like to think that maybe next year they take the next step, like, you know, the Pacers have taken their next step. Well, what seems to be their next step. It's not there yet. They got to win 4 games. But I do think that there has to be, whether it's probably going to be bench players. It's good. They have to get bench players that are going to be, you know, more active, especially offensively. I think Deuce McBride is fine. I don't have a problem with him. Mitchell Robinson is fine. But they have to have guys that come off the bench are actually going to score some points.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that they need to get guys like the two that they lost. Now, you're not going to be able to find guys as good as that in Hartenstein and DiVincenzo, but guys who are more like that to pair with Bridges and Towns, those additions. Because, I mean, that team, which is impossible to have because of all the money and everything else, but that team, the way it would be built, if you had this group that you have in 2025 and then also players like Hartenstein and DiVincenzo, because I think that's what you're missing too. You know, 3-and-D guy, a little bit more of a tough presence, and then Hartenstein, someone's going to come in and give you that great defense, also score a little bit more than Mitchell Robinson, don't have to worry about him being a liability at the free throw line as much. Like, those are the things I'd like to see.
By the way, you know, Mitchell Robinson hit his 2 free throws last night, had 7 rebounds.
He's been great.
And, you know, really didn't do much else. I mean, I think he had, 4 points last night?
Yeah, I mean, he's been great in the series. Nobody played all that well last night for the Knicks. But yeah, I mean, he's been a difference maker. I mean, they would not have even won a game without his contributions with the offensive rebounds and the defense, the way that he plays.
Takes a team. You know? Just, you know, keep saying the same thing about the Pacers.
Yeah.
They got a team. One game, it's Nesmith. And by the way, you know, Nesmith played great defense last night on Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Great defense. And, you know, Jalen did most of his damage when Nesmith wasn't on him.
I mean, he's not a flashy guy at all. You know what he is? Lunch pail guy. That's what he is.
And then all of a sudden he gets hot that one game in game one, and there goes the series.
Yeah, I mean, and you hear him, like, listen, I love guys with personality in sports, don't get me wrong. Like, when Anthony Edwards says some of the stuff he says, you know, it's great, it's funny. But Nesmith, after that game in game one, is like, hey, you know, I just felt it a little bit. They were giving me the ball, just doing what I can to win a basketball game. That's it. You know, and then he's out there playing both ends of the floor. He is a beast.
Again, you know, watching these highlights and some of these inbound plays in the offensive end for the Indiana Pacers and how they make one guy miss, and next thing you know, it's clear to the basket. The ball gets thrown in, and that's Rick Carlisle. That's coaching. That's setting up a play. And that happened 3 or 4 times last night.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, Rick Carlisle, I mean, we love Tibbs, but Carlisle's been the better coach in the series. I mean, it's kind of by a large margin.
Well, he threw Bradley in there last night to kind of, and Bradley had a plus night last night. And we hadn't seen him much.
Nope. You ace up the sleeve, I guess, for Rick Carlisle. Let's go to Brent, who's in Orlando, Florida. What's going on, Brent?
Hey, guys. Long time, first time, buddy.
All right, Brent.
I had to call. I throw out to Boomer Esiason. I'm originally from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I remember watching him all the time. I'm an ECC guy, so I loved you back in Maryland, that Boomer.
Appreciate that, Brent. So what's happening today?
Yeah, I had to call, guys. Carl Anthony Towns is driving me crazy. I love all sports. I cannot watch the NBA during the regular season, but I love the playoffs, and I cannot stay. You guys are hitting it. He's throwing up these shots 5 or 6 feet behind the 3-point line. He looks like a gangly albatross out there. I mean, I know he's a great player, but he just drives me crazy, and y'all have been hitting on it all morning about the stupid shots missing underneath. I'll hang up and let y'all go about it. But I can hardly watch the Knicks and watch this guy, even though I know he's an all-star, and 9 out of 10 people have disagreed with me. But he just drives me crazy.
I don't think they disagree with you, Frank. But
I mean, I kind of agree with the poor fouls.
Like the reaction to the fouls that are obvious.
Yeah, I think this is what I'd say about him. There's no greater disparity in how a guy looks when he's playing well and playing poorly than Karl Anthony Towns. Like, when he's playing well, he looks like he could dominate the entire league. He does everything well. He's aggressive to the basket.
He's amazingly nimble as a big man.
Right. He's aggressive to the basket. The little turnaround fadeaway. Hitting the threes. I mean, getting the foul shots.
How about last night underneath the bucket?
Right. His ambidextrous nature under the basket as well. He looks amazing when he's on. And when he's off, he looks like the worst player who's ever put on the uniform.
Well, the question is do he and Brunson work well together?
Not well enough for who they are.
I hate to say this, but would Brunson and Giannis work better together?
That's an interesting question. I mean, that would be the only way that you could maybe get Giannis here. But then, you know, teams, when they trade big guys like that, they do want picks. The Knicks don't have picks anymore. Would they take Karl Anthony Towns? We failed in two different places. I don't know.
He's a scorer. I mean, he is definitely a presence. We see that.
No, I know, but it's just they're so just he was brought here to be the guy that puts him over the top. Got him another, you know, round further so far. But he's just when he is not playing, he's just so annoying to watch when he's not playing well. With his sloppy, lazy fouls, bitching to the officials. He's just all over the place. I feel like he's just like, you know, he's laying on the ground and his arms are up over here and he's in the official's face and he's missing shots and it's so frustrating to watch. But because you know what's in there is what we saw in Game 3 in the fourth quarter. I mean, for God's sakes, he'd be Jokic if he could put that together consistently. For God's sakes, be the same guy. Hey. Let's go to Brian in Secaucus. What's going on, Brian?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, man.
I want no part of Giannis, first of all. And the Knicks got to win tonight, or it's a lost season.
Tomorrow night.
I'm sorry, Boom.
Sorry.
What about getting DiVincenzo back? I mean, he's a bench. You just said we need bench player. He's a great bench player. He sparked the crowd. He's electrifying. I love him, and I miss him.
I love him and I miss him. Yeah, Brian, yeah, I know. Okay. I do too. I'm sure if they could do it, they may try.
Why would Minnesota want to do that?
Well, I don't know. It depends what they're giving back. I mean, maybe the Knicks. There's something there that the Minnesota wants.
He's got 3 years left on his contract. I mean, it's a manageable contract.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, it feels like, I know they did that commercial together.
2 years after this, he has 2 more years left.
Let's go to Jim in Bergen County. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jim. What's up?
Hey, love the show. Listen, man, I wake up. I'm going, what the hell happened? Did I miss something? Did they already lose the fourth game? Come on.
All right, Jim.
They're down 3-1. Come on. Everybody's talking about what they're going to do next year. They're going to fire Tibbs, all this other stuff. Hey, they're not out of this thing. All they got to do is win one more game. That's all you got to do, win one more game. Don't throw the towel in on these guys.
Yeah, Jim, I'm sorry.
I mean, what have I been saying all morning about Game 5?
Yeah, I mean, and also this is your classic, like, one possession, one quarter, one half, one game at a time situation with when they have to win 3 in a row, and I fully understand that. But
I mean, listen, you win this game, Halliburton comes down with a really severely sprained ankle, now everything changes.
Well, yeah, of course, and we understand that. But this is, so we're always going to tell you exactly how we feel. And we didn't, I said after Game 1, we didn't, you know, these games are late. Well, we come in here, Boomers as a Sports Minutes, when we know what we're going to open with. We're not, sometimes we don't even tell each other what we're thinking about a game. So we came in there both after Game 1 and both had the same feeling. After they blew that game, it was a horrible loss. And we both came in and said, listen, we were encouraged by the way that they played for most of that game, and I feel good about them going forward. And that's how I felt at that point. This morning, after watching that game, down 3-1, the way that the Pacers played, how great Halliburton was, they played right into their hands, the transition defense was terrible, all that stuff. This morning, I feel like this is it. The Pacers are like so close to the finish line, and they sort of earned their way into the finals with the way that they played last night. It's just a foregone conclusion. I'm sorry, that's the way I feel.
That's the way you feel. That's not the way I feel. The way I feel is like, you know, take care of Game 5 at home in front of your fans, and don't let Game 5 be the last game of the season in your building. I mean, like, you know, and lose the game. You can't. I mean, you can't lose three games at Madison Square Garden in front of your frenetic fan base that wants you to win in the worst way. Owe them. You know what you do? You owe the fans an incredible effort on Thursday night. And then you worry about whatever happens after that.
Well, yeah.
You just take care of this. You take care of this game Thursday night in front of your fans, and you just basically at least reassert yourself and re-energize yourself to get back into the series.
Yeah, I mean, really, and what I'm looking for is a Game 5 win, and then at some point in Game 6 thinking, wow, you know, they look great, and they can get back to the Garden, and maybe they have a shot. That's really all I'm looking for at this point, but it's almost like, you know what you're talking about, different scenarios, different trajectories with the teams, but that Game 5 in the NLCS that I was at, where it was like in front of the fans.
Don't lose that game.
And they pummeled them, and it was just a great feeling, and we're like, okay, you know, the Dodgers are better and probably going to lose the series going back to L.A., but boy, what a night that was.
Telling you, win this game, same kind of scenario, go back to Indy, and you never know what can happen. And I'm just telling you, you know, I still said I said the Knicks in 7. There's still that chance that could happen. I'm not saying it's a great chance. I'm not going to sit here and pound my chest and say it's going to happen. But I'm just saying that a lot of things can happen in games. But the one thing you can't let happen, and at least the Mets didn't let it happen last year, don't lose on your home court. Just don't do it.
Yeah. Let's go to Lori in Ocean Township. What's going on, Lori?
Hi, Gio, you kind of said something that resonated with me about how you're glad you're not going to Game 5 because of the negative energy that you would bring.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a ticket for Game 5. It's a suite ticket, and I wanted to bring my brother-in-law, who's a huge, huge Knicks fan, but very similar to what you said. He would bring this negative energy if they weren't doing well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I need to invite him or, you know, because if they did win, then he would be ecstatic. He's never been to a game. I think it would be a great experience. So,
if he's never been to a game and this is a playoff game, then yeah, you got to bring him. I mean, if he'd been to a ton of games.
And you're bringing him to a suite, too.
Yeah, I'd bring him.
Free food, drinks, the whole thing. You got to bring him.
Okay. That's how I felt, but I just didn't know if the energy would be the issue.
He won't be the only one if they get down. That whole place is going to be, it's going to be like a wake if they get down.
And by the
15.
Way, that's what Rick Carlisle will tell his team prior to the game. Let's do it tonight, boys.
Yeah, let's take it right out of them. Don't even give them a chance. Don't give them any sort of life, nothing. But yeah, bring your brother-in-law, because that would, I mean, imagine he hasn't been to a game. He's a huge fan. Imagine if they did play great in a suite and he missed out on that. That'd be horrible. But that would be worse than him being there and having a negative feeling about watching them lose.
Right. I'm just telling you, this team is not going to lose on Thursday night.
Let's go to Dan and Troy. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, good morning, guys. This feels like a classic unkillable spot from DT today.
And you know what? I mean, you're right as far as if you're thinking about the Jets and where they were, and he came out with all the bravado. But just listening to BT through this season and the playoffs, I think he's going to come out differently. I think that he's going to not like the Knicks' chances at all. I mean, it's a good opportunity for him to do unkillable too, but it's just, I don't think that's him. I think he believes that the Knicks are done.
With all that testosterone, I'm not sure, man.
You know, Dan.
Yeah, I think that he thinks that they're probably a better team.
Well, yeah, I mean, he put something out on X last night that kind of gave you a take on it, and I think his anger is going to come from how the Knicks played, not from people counting the Knicks out like he did with the Jets. Where he said, stop walking around work like a loser. I mean, but at that point, we knew. We were right about that.
We were right about that one, yes.
Season was over. Sorry. didn't happen. Unkillable. Playoffs with Zach. Yeah, it didn't happen. Caitlin in Stony Brook. What's going on, Caitlin?
Hey, guys. My husband's probably going to die because he's listening, and he has no idea that I'm calling. So I was playoffs, and then last year I started watching with my husband, and I am, like, the biggest Knicks fan ever right now. I'm so into it. So Carl Anthony Towns is, I don't know what his deal is. He's like, when he is on, he's so good. And then he's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like, he's two different players sometimes. And it's, you know, when he's great, he's absolutely unbelievable. And then other times he's getting these, you know, weird fouls, like stupid calls. And he's always shocked after they call the foul on him. And it's just frustrating. And, you know, I was watching last year and, you know, you had DiVincenzo and Hartenstein. And I just feel like, I don't know, maybe they need to get a deeper bench with, you know, some other players that just kind of have a more well-rounded game, whether it's, you know, getting those offensive rebounds or being able to do the offense and the defense and just guys that can score.
Yeah, thanks, Caitlin. I mean, I think that, you know, we're kind of on the same page with that stuff. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns' valleys should not be as deep as they are, like, for a player as good as he is. Like, his peaks, I understand, but he goes so far down away from how good he can be when he's bad, and that's what's ultimately so frustrating about him, because you know he can take over games. And as far as the guys that they lost and getting that identity back, yeah. I mean, I said something similar earlier. I don't think you're going to get DiVincenzo and Hartenstein back, but similar guys in those roles to be able to roll them out there throughout the course of the season in the playoffs, I think will do
it. Well, and just remember, good. Those guys didn't get them as far as these guys did.
Yeah, but I mean,
Mikal Bridges and Carl Anthony Towns were the two guys that were the major differences. They brought them in, and we are in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals.
Right, but I'm talking about having all of it, right? We're having the two guys that got them further, and then guys like that, role players like that. You know, and Hartenstein became more than a role player throughout his time. But, you know, that if they're going to do something in the offseason, that's the most likely scenario, is finding guys that fit those roles a little bit better that would actually get some playing time.
I mean, but let's be honest. Out of all the teams around here, the fans of the Yankees got it the best. They right roll now out of bed, win. And they don't even think about the regular season anymore. That's just like a story that's written for the record books, you know, maybe for Aaron Judge. They had 60 home runs, whatever.
Yeah, right.
It's always like they always expect to be in the playoffs. Like, for the rest of us who are fans of other teams, it's like pulling teeth.
It's never easy. That's for sure.
It's a killer. I don't know how to put it. It just absolutely rips your guts out.
I mean, you're talking to a Mets, Knicks, St. John's, and Minnesota Vikings fan. So I'm there. I'm in that pool of losers.
Well, they're not losers. I mean,
yeah, they are.
The point is, I've never seen them win anything. The team is winning, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I've never seen them win a championship.
Like, I'm a Rangers, Mets, and Knicks fan.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done their share of winning. I've seen them win championships, yes.
And I have not. That's the difference.
But still, we never, ever, like, we had Messier. That was our guy. And Richter.
Yep.
Those were our guys. Like, and you knew that those guys at least would give us a fighting chance every single time. Like, I was watching Edmonton last night against Dallas a little bit. And every time Connor McDavid comes on the ice and Leon Draisaitl comes on the ice, you're like, you know that something is happening.
Because they're superstars.
It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, Brunson is generally that guy for them. But, you know, last night in the fourth quarter, he wasn't.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back. He's got update, moment of the day, all that good stuff on this Wednesday morning where we're not too happy about what happened last night. What's up, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Some clips from earlier that we played, including this one, to get the crowd into a frenzy last night before the Knicks and Pacers.
Indianapolis! We got some big wigs from the big city in the building. Spike Lee is here. Ben Stiller is here. Timothy Chalamet is here. Let's send these sons of bitches back to New York with their ears ringing. Let's turn this
And then, of course, Pat McAfee in Indiana, where the Pacers did beat the Knicks 130-121. So let's get to the highlights. How about the Lime Time highlight of the night, presented by Corona?
Halliburton got it in. Top in for three! Top in for three!
Beautiful execution there on the baseline. They forget about him, and he knocks down the three ball.
Pacers Radio with the call, the Lime Time highlight of the night, presented by Corona. You guys were wondering, or I guess a caller was wondering, about the Unkillable and BT. So he did release a video last night, as did Tommy, which I'm not playing because whatever. And Sal did, too. But here's BT. If you were curious what the take would be, and he's certainly going to expand on this during his show with Sal coming up at 10 o'clock here on The Fan. This was right after the loss.
You know, anytime my team loses a playoff game, I want to go nuts, and I want to explode, and I want to be irrational. But the truth of the matter is I'm not going to be irrational tonight because the Pacers are better. You know, the Pacers are built better. Their deep pieces fit better.
So it's more of a rational take, nothing crazy?
So I was thinking during the McAfee thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's calling out all the celebrities from New York that are there. And I was like, who are the most famous people from Indiana? And we know John Mellencamp was there.
David Letterman.
I got two for you that I think are more famous than David Letterman. You got to tell me who's the most famous.
Sydney Sweeney.
No, she's from Indiana.
I don't know.
Oh, because she would win.
She would win.
Right away. Done. Michael Jackson, Johnny Appleseed.
What about Larry?
No. Larry Bird is not. Come on.
So I guess we're just playing that now?
God. All right. So who you take? Who's more? Larry in Indiana is not on the list. Michael Jackson, Johnny Appleseed, David Letterman, John Cougar Mellencamp.
Michael Jackson.
Got to be Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. But he can't go to the game.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that kind of factors in, doesn't it?
So I guess, yeah, it's true.
I would
neither
think
get Johnny Appleseed had died in 1845.
That too. I would think either David Letterman or John Cougar Mellencamp.
Or Larry Bird.
Yeah, but he's a player. We're not talking about Patrick Ewing being games.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think Letterman might be.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
I don't know. That's a close one.
It's not terrible, but listen, I mean, you can't be making fun of our celebrities. And you got nothing. You got no good living celebrities anymore.
Well, I mean, John Cougar Mellencamp is still alive.
Yeah, he was there, but it didn't. I mean, it's not like an A-list actor. We got A-list actors.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to defend us for once, man. We're trying to want to lose anything.
No, I get it. I understand. Well, you're down 3-1.
I had no idea Johnny Appleseed was a real person.
I was looking at you. I thought it was a made-up character.
No, it's a real person. He was 70 years old when he died. He was a conservationist. He planted
at
apples.
Seven?
No. 70 when he died.
Oh, 70. Are these
yeah,
seven?
No. He was planted apple orchards all over the place. Yep. Real guy. Was born in 1774, Jerry.
Did he really live, Al? Did he
Johnny
really
Appleseed?
Exist?
Not sure. I don't think so.
Where is he today? All right. Here's Tyrese Halliburton. He says his dad was back. They allowed him back in the building. I think he was in a suite, but still meant a lot for him.
With him being in the building, of course, I wanted to play well. But, I mean, I know we're saying free Pops and Pops is free, but he was not in jail. He happened to be in a very beautiful home, sitting very pretty watching NBA basketball. He's just fine. So, I was happy he was in the building.
And I'm not with you. Let him go to the Garden. Elimination game.
Who was banning him? Was it the NBA?
I think the NBA.
Yes.
Oh, okay. It was the NBA.
Oh, he went up to Giannis. Giannis was getting the gun into his face.
Yeah, I know, but I wasn't sure if it was the Pacers who were like, no, you're not allowed to come anymore, or was Adam Silver.
Yeah, I think it was the NBA that put their foot down. Here's Jalen Brunson. Too many turnovers by the Knicks, and it led to a lot of points the other way for the Pacers.
I mean, a lot of them are stuff that we can control. As a team, we just need to tighten the screws when it comes to that. You know, just being aggressive. If there were aggressive turnovers, that'd be different. But passive turnovers is not us.
And maybe the most damning comment of all, or the most honest one, however you want to call it, this is Mikal Bridges. We simply weren't as good as them tonight.
I feel like I just play harder than us. I didn't play my best game, and I feel like on both ends, just let my team down a little bit, but we just kept fighting. They came out with more fire.
Came out with more fire and played harder. Game 5 at the Garden tomorrow night, where the Knicks look to send it back to Indiana for a Game 6. Tonight, the Thunder look to close out the T-Wolves. They are at home for Game 5, up 3-1 there. The baseball story, we start in Anaheim with the Yankees and the Angels.
So here's Volpe, infield drawn in close, and fly ball, center field, dropping quickly. Base hit, Anthony Volpe. Oh. Scoring is Bellinger, and the Yankees have a 2-0 lead here in the sixth inning.
And they would get another home run, or a home run from Oswald Peraza later in the game, an earlier home run from Ben Rice, and they lead 3-0. Hold off the Angels 3-2. Dave Sims,
hey now.
The fan. Hey now, was right. Here was Peraza on his home run.
I'm looking for a good pitch. You know, he threw me yesterday a lot of sinker inside. He threw a lot of sinker inside. I'm looking for that pitch. And he see the ball, hit the ball.
Well, that's exactly what he did. It went a long way, and the Yankees get to 34-20. Wasn't easy, though, as Devin Williams ran into trouble in the ninth inning, but did get out and escape the jam.
You just keep going. The game's not over. We didn't lose yet, so it's pretty simple.
Would have been a wasteful night if they didn't take advantage of Carlos Rodon, who threw 7 shutout innings, 10 strikeouts, only gave up 5 hits, 7th win of the season, ERA of 2.60. Tonight, Clark Schmidt takes on Yusei Kikuchi on the fan at 9:35. The Yankees go for the sweep. They have won 4 in a row. The Mets have won 4 in a row. They knocked off the White Sox 6-4. Pete Alonso homered, and then that was followed up by
1-0 pitch to Young, hit in the air deep to right field. Back near the wall, this might go, and it's gone! On to the top of the Payson Cadillac Club in right field, Jared Young's first home run as a Met, his third major league home run. It's a 4-run first inning for the Mets, and they have a 4-2 lead over the White Sox.
Howie Rose on Mets.
Hi, I'm Radio. Howie Rose.
Yes, and they would wind up winning 6-4. Francisco Lindor capped the scoring with an RBI single late in the game. Tyler McGill, 5 2/3. For the win, his fourth of the season. For Alonso, he says, we as a group, pretty good night.
I think we just did a great job hitting the ball hard consistently and just controlling the zone and controlling the at-bats. And I thought our pitch selection was great all night. And, it was just a collective... Yeah. Collective great offensive effort.
Great, yes. And they are 34-21, still a game and a half behind Philly in the NL East. And I saw Bryce Harper got hit by a pitch, left the game early last night. Amazing. Francisco Alvarez got hit in the first inning of this game, too. They got 90. How they don't get injured, I don't understand, because he wasn't wearing the arm guard at the time. Put it on after, but was okay. Series finale today at 1:10. If you had tickets for this game at 7:10, they moved it up because of the weather. 1:10 first pitch, Griffin Canning and Shane Smith on 880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio. And we've done some around the league with Ellie De La Cruz, the two big home runs. We had the Tigers, who won again yesterday. Well, how about what Shohei Ohtani continues to do as the Dodgers beat the Guardians?
He swings, hits a high fly ball to left and deep. Kwan going back, he's to the track. He looks up, that ball's gone, a home run. It's number 20 for Ohtani. And his show just continues to roll. He is unbelievable.
20th home run in 55 games.
You know what's amazing, Jerry?
Yeah.
Schwarber had the lead there for a while.
Yes.
And
he's hit like 4 in a row, right?
I mean, it's amazing. Days. It's just quietly, all of a sudden, he's got 20 home runs.
Yes, very quickly. That's exactly right. They won 9-5 on the road in Cleveland yesterday. All right, we played this earlier. Terry Bradshaw on the Buzz, 103.7. Where'd you say? Arkansas, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Talking about Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers, should that happen, of course. He not a fan.
That's a joke. He shouldn't. This to me is a joke. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go somewhere
you.
and chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
100%.
The only bad part of that clip is it's not clean.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a remote somewhere. I guess he's living out there. Or he's got a.
I don't watch the reality show. Do you?
No, I don't. But Yeah, that's a very popular sports talk radio station for Arkansas.
I'm sure it is.
Been long, long-running shows there and everything else. So Terry's...
The buzz.
Yes. And then we had this Tyreek Hill with some NFL fans.
Yo, Tyreek, what do you think about Travis Hunter?
He gonna be ass.
So not a big fan of what he thinks he's gonna do in the NFL, unless ass is good. I'm not sure.
Maybe he knows him. Maybe they're friends and he's joking around.
It probably, you know? But still kind of funny.
Yeah, he gonna be ass is funny.
Very much so. And the Oilers beat the Stars 4-1. They take a 3-1 lead in the conference finals there. Corey Perry snapped a 1-1 tie with a power play goal. Then they tacked on a couple of empty net goals. These teams go to the empty net very quickly in these games. They scored two of them last night. In Game 5 for the Panthers and Hurricanes in Raleigh tonight, where Florida looks for the closeout, they are up 3-1 in that series. And with that, we get to something that we call moment of the day. And I know TV's got the hockey rolling, so we will keep it with the hockey talk. So last hour, I had a very nice setup to a hockey story, but it was also one that Boomer was not listening to. And you have the Abbotsford Canucks playing Colorado in the AHL Western Conference Finals. The play-by-play announcer for the Canucks is a guy by the name of Brand Astle. Astle? I don't know. A-S-T-L-E. I don't know. I don't know.
Sure it's not huge?
Stop it. Anyhow, a fan sneaks into the broadcast booth and throws his chair at him.
Got some Yahoo chap chirping at me from behind. Get out of here. What was he doing? I'm fired up. He threw my chair at me. Hit me right in the back of the leg. Like, what was he doing here? Unreal. Have another beer.
I'm surprised. So what is he doing? Is he doing the national radio broadcast for the Edmonton Oilers Stars game?
I guess you didn't hear the whole setup.
I didn't hear the whole setup, no.
I'm the one drinking.
I'm watching A.J. Brown going up and down. He almost loses his cross around his neck.
I think I just got Joey Waller.
There you go, guys. Moment of the day.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Well, I know it's been a rough morning. Yeah, it was tough. We had to sit up. We had to watch that entire game. Totally disappointed.
Yeah.
Couldn't fall asleep right away.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the... After a loss and you're annoyed and you're tired, it's a lot worse getting up than it is after the win when you're hyped and you're tired.
It's a lot harder.
And you're staying up.
Yes.
It's just you wait and it's like, they actually lost that freaking game. Yeah, that was like after game one, and then I convinced myself it was okay. I couldn't convince myself it was okay driving in this morning. And then hearing all the calls and the C-Mac and everything, I was like, I know I kept listening, though, because I wanted to hear, you know, how people were processing it. But it's tough. I know, like, there's people who don't want to hear, like, the negative stuff. I understand when your team's down, but I just don't see it any other way at this point. Last night was a statement by the Indiana Pacers. That was a statement by Tyrese Halliburton. I mean, he played his ass off. When Tyrese Halliburton has that game and Jalen Brunson has 0 points in the fourth quarter, feels like it's over.
You know what? When I see Nesmith all over Jalen Brunson and making it, you know, a three-quarter court game for him, and then I see Tyrese Halliburton standing at the three-point line with nobody within 10 feet of him, I see two different players playing in two different games. There's one game being played the way it's supposed to be played, and the other game is not being played the way it's supposed to be played, and that's the Knicks on defense. They were terrible. And they all admitted it after the game, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not anything. We're not breaking any ground here or saying anything controversial. We're telling you, like, the way I saw it was I could not believe how many easy baskets Indiana was able to get. And you even said it this morning, like, during this entire run of the playoffs, did it ever feel like the Knicks were ever in control of anything?
Just game six against Boston. That was it. That's the one time. Every other game, it didn't feel like they were.
It's painful.
Yeah, I mean,
it's frustrating, but they've gotten to a point in this season where they didn't, or they haven't been since, 1999?
I'd say, yeah, right. And I would also say the first three quarters of game one in this series. First three and a half quarters of game one in this series. And then they end up blowing that game in spectacular fashion. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a grind. It's been an uphill grind. But if they somehow come back and win this series on the back of Jalen Brunson, I mean, that legend grows. But it has to start with not losing. It's not even about, like, winning tomorrow night. It's like not losing at home again to get your ass knocked out of the series. To lose three. You got home court advantage in the Eastern Conference Finals. You can't even win a game there.
I mean, Boston won in there. Detroit won in there. Indiana has won in there. And this is supposed to be, like, the greatest building in America to play basketball in. And really what I think is other teams want to come in and just absolutely put on a show for those two sets of seats that sit around the court.
Yep. That's right. You really hate these Knicks celebrities right now. Oh, really, God. They're old. You really can't stand
them. I mean, look, we're all fans, right? I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's just, I just understand the want to from the other team's side. And you heard it from Pat McAfee last night introducing them.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, and like the Knicks fans, but I still, they're there, but they don't represent the fan base the way I look at it. I mean, I've had so many Knicks fans in my life growing up, same age as me, that have gone through the same crap. Like, those are the people that I think about. I don't think, like, when the Knicks lose, I don't think about Ben Stiller. It doesn't even cross my mind, that guy. Timothée Chalamet. You know, I think about buddies of mine who, you know, we watched playoff games in the 90s together in middle school and high school. That's who I think about. Not, you know, Susie Essman and John McEnroe. Love Johnny Mac, though. Great guy. That's what you told me.
Yes.
Never met him, but don't want to slam him. Good dude. Great guy. Great golfer. Another lefty. Let's go to Carl in Whitestone. What's going on, Carl?
Morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
All righty, Carl. What's happening?
So I'm watching my kids go through the forge and fire process of becoming a New York fan, especially with the Knicks. They're 15, 13, and 10. And they were allowed to stay up for game one to watch the whole thing. They decided to go to bed early. So when they came down, of course, they were admonished for being the reason the Knicks lost. You can't move out of your spots on the couch. How could you go to bed? You were allowed to stay up. Obviously all in jest. But last night was just incredible. My 10-year-old's sitting there telling me that now he understands what I mean by saying even when the Knicks are good, it's very painful to root for them. My 13-year-old tells me, look, Carl Anthony Towns moves like Angel Reese. And my 15-year-old says, Dad, why does it look like Brunson took a gummy before the game? So that started a whole other conversation. But, you know, they're learning the hard way.
Oh, man, that Carl Anthony Towns Angel Reese comparison is going to be something I'm not going to be able to get out of my head watching.
Well, Carl-Anthony Towns actually scores points. Angel Reese does not.
Yeah, that is true. But still, like when Carl-Anthony Towns is off, it's Angel Reese-like. I hate to say it, but it is. That's funny.
You're 2 feet away from the basket and it doesn't go in?
Yeah. You ever see those like montages of Angel Reese's worst shots?
Oh, yeah. Bang!
It's really funny. The other thing that's really funny, and I'm not in any way getting into politics, it's just the video is hilarious. Is the French president, Macron,
getting smacked by his wife.
It is so funny because it's just the way the door opens at that exact moment. And her hand is over his face, pushing him back. And then he turns around with that goofy look like, hi, like after his wife was mushing his face.
Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever had your face mushed?
No, never. Never.
Neither have I.
Never had my face mushed. No, I have not. I mean, it's just the timing of everything.
Like the guy opens, the pilot opens the door and
and then here he is going, hi, everybody, hi. And then, of course, and if you haven't seen her before, you're not familiar with her, and she comes out and she, you know, she looks like she's 98 years old.
Yes.
It's just perfect. It's a funny video. It is a funny video. Tommy's calling from Staten Island. What's up, Tommy? How you doing today?
Hey, what's up, guys? Tommy from Staten Island.
Tommy, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? I'm trying to... I called you guys the day after game one. You told me not to jump off a boat. To me, game one was very important. It was the tone setter, and it changed the whole trajectory of the series.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue now, Tommy. I mean, listen, at that time, I don't regret being positive after that game. I felt the way I felt because of the way that they played. I thought they were going to come out in game two, but they just got beat in game two, and that's when my take on it changed. But, yeah, listen, man, you looking back at it, you were right.
I got one more point about Tibbs and everything. So, listen, you know, Tibbs was horrible last night, but, you know, with the substitutions and not going to work in game three. But do you really think that all these problems will go away if we fire Tibbs when your two biggest offensive guys are your two worst defensive liabilities? I mean, that's a problem here. We got a huge problem. They got picked on the whole series.
Yeah, and listen, Tommy, I'm with you. I don't think that firing Tibbs, it's a roster thing. It's not a coaching thing. But as far as like Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns are not going to get better defensively to the point where we're going to look at them as very good defensive players. Like, this is not a situation. Like, NBA players don't just wake up the next year and become better defensive players. Well, it's not like Pete Alonso working at his picking at first base, you know?
Right, but one thing about Jalen Brunson, you know, he's hamstrung because he's shorter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Karl Anthony Towns should be. I mean, he's a house. He's a mountain of a man.
Yeah, he's still, though, not, like, as you talked about with the jumping and stuff, he's not exactly, doesn't have short space quicks, you know what I'm saying? Doesn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, and he's not a, what you would call a rim protector.
No, I mean, if he had the Mitchell Robinson in him, I mean, he'd be...
But there are things, though, like when he gets around the basket, some of the things he's able to accomplish are pretty amazing for a guy his size.
He's
got the softest hand. He's got soft hands.
Supple? Would you even say supple?
Supple hand. He has a whole supple nature about him. That's why I think people thought that he was soft.
Because of his supple nature?
Yeah, he's supple.
Oh, man. Yeah, we've gotten to the point now where we've gotten from angry to now just...
Just don't lose at home on Thursday night. Please, don't do it. Don't do this to your fans.
Yeah.
You can't. You're good. You're still a good team. You got everybody's healthy. You're good. You're still right there. You've beaten these guys in the regular season. You've beaten them already once in this series. Don't let it happen again. Play the way you played in game one, but just finish the game off, much like the Pacers did last night.
Yeah. No, they definitely did. It was as impressive as I think they've played, even though they gave up 120 points. I mean, the Knicks were scoring, it's some of those images and those videos of the wide open threes and the wide open shots are just, and the turnovers.
The inbound plays that are underneath your own basket. Woof.
Yeah, really sloppy.